This morning's scripture reading will be found in Ephesians 5, 31 through 33. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Thank you, Nico. So about 6 o'clock this morning when I was finishing this, I thought, I can't do this. And many times through the night, I had to close my eyes and I had to pray, because I got to a certain point where I didn't know how to put it into words anymore. I'm still not sure I can. I specifically asked Mike if I could speak the Sunday before my daughter got married, thinking that what I was going to do was make this epic presentation to them to give them a great start on their marriage. And yes, it seems quite obvious from what we read this morning that yes, I want to speak about love. But it turns out that it's not a message for my children. It's a very good message for all of us, young, old, married, unmarried, widowed or widowers. There's a possibility, and I've kind of gone over this with Larry, and it's kind of weird how the Lord works, that I may run over just a little bit today because I'm trying to condense a 365-page book into a sermon. The way that I indicate that the Lord works very strangely is that we did pretty quickly on the songs. We are pretty quick at the Lord's table, and that was really basically without me asking. I have extra time this morning. I wish that I had read this book 20 years ago. 20 years ago in July of this year, I will have been married. Well, I think I'm saying that backwards. Sorry, I'm a little tired still. I'll be married 20 years in July. I still think that everything is better than it was before. Every year is a joy. Every year we draw ourselves closer to each other. But oh, that feistiness of your youth. It would have been nice to have some of these ideas in place so that we could have better understood one another and perhaps gotten past those conflicts a little quicker. I'll probably at some point make you feel like I'm tearing you down this morning. I apologize. I'll also have some time to build you up. The main point that I'm going to make this morning, if you already understood this point before I even brought it up to you, good for you. Because I believe it's going to be a revelation to most people here, men and women alike. I've never heard this spoken about in 40, how long have you been married now? 43 years. At this point in the sermon, when I was actually writing this, I was sitting in front of my computer listening to Mark's sermon that he gave a little while ago on, I don't remember what he entitled it, but it was around Valentine's Day, and basically it was about love. I'm sorry if I'm generalizing that, but it certainly had a lot to do about love. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't repeating what he had said. I believe that the two will complement one another. However, some of the points that I want to make were so close to what he was already making, I actually got a hold of Ginger and said, did he use this book as his reference? And she said no, which to me indicates two things. One, it should be different, and two, he's a really wise man because he picked up all this stuff on his own, where I'm just going to paraphrase somebody else. And of course, I know he used this book, which is the one that is very important. So this book is titled Love and Respect. Has anybody ever heard of it? Love and Respect by Emerson. And this is the only part of the book I don't like. I can't pronounce his last name. I get to call it Egrich today for simplicity. There are many stories that are in this book that are shared with the doctor from people who have gone through his seminars in Love and Respect. Unfortunately, with time constraints, I won't be able to share many of those with you. But when I was reading the examples that were in this book, I can't tell you the number of the times that I sit there with my head nodding, or perhaps even with my eyes tearing up a little bit, because I never understood. I didn't understand my wife. I didn't even understand myself. There is no way that I'm going to be able to do this book justice in the time I have. Friends, I pray that you take the time to buy this book, borrow it from me. A friend gave it to me. It's well worth your time. I think that the biggest challenge I'm going to face today is having this make sense and not being too offensive. Okay, here we go. Men and women, here's the big shocker, right? We're different. To quote the doctor, he sees the world through blue sunglasses, she sees it through pink. Neither is wrong, they're just different. Paul's advice in Ephesians 5 and 25 and 28, it's sound. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. Before I go any farther, I had a thought this morning. With the internet, Bible.com, cut and paste and everything else, I very unfrequently open my Bible here in the pulpit anymore, because it's just, for expediency, so much easier for me to just print them on the paper. If that offends anybody, let me know. Because honestly, it's the same thing. It's just quicker for me to not fumble through, because I don't look up scriptures as quickly. So, but the point that I just made then from those verses is that husbands should love their wives. But it's only half the story. The scripture that Nico read this morning holds the key to what I'm going to try to present. Ephesians 5:31 through 33, to repeat. A man leaves his mother and father, a father and mother, and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So what's the key? What have I never heard? What have I never paid much attention to from the pulpit or in my own studies? The King James Version says, reverence. The Living Bible that I got this from says, respect. Respect is the key that I want to speak of today. Dr. Edrich indicates that 5 out of 10 marriages today end because love is not enough. Love is vital, especially for the wife, but what we've missed is a husband's need for respect. I didn't even pay any attention to the end of that verse until I actually read this book. When I'm going along here and trying to make this book into a short sermon, I need you to do me a favor this morning, and that is make some assumptions that what I'm telling you is the truth, or at least the truth as this says, he says, and I interpret to put it down here as quickly as I can. The things that I will tell you this morning, I can tell you that the points are confirmed with scriptures, with logic, with psychological study. But I don't have time to go through and give you all the stories and examples. How about this proof that a wife primarily needs love and a husband needs respect? The wife asks, does my husband love me as much as I love him? When he comes across unloving, she reacts negatively. Unfortunately, her response is usually what? To complain and criticize, to motivate her husband to be more loving. Doesn't work. Well, how about the husbands then? The husband rarely asks, does my wife love me as much as I love her? Why not? Because he's assured of her love. Husbands often feel, and this is something I believe Mark covered before, often that yes, their wives love them, but they don't like them. This dislike is interpreted by the man as disrespect. So the husband decides to motivate the wife to be more respectful by being unloving. Doesn't work. Men hear criticism as contempt. Women feel silence as hostility. When men hear negative criticism, it doesn't take long for them to see it as contempt for who they are. She confronts him, he'll sit there quietly. That makes her madder. She sees the silence as being unloving when he is actually thinking she is treating me with disrespect. Have any of you been in this situation where the guy just kind of sits there and gets beaten up by that little girl, and he just gets quieter and quieter, and she just gets louder and louder. Maybe it never happened in your household. But it's amazing, the man's ability to just sit there and take it, and the woman not understanding why he's doing that, and he not understanding what he's causing her to do. Ephesians 5 teaches that the man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the woman must respect her husband. Can it be any clearer? The word that Paul uses for love here is agape, and I don't speak Greek, so if I'm mispronouncing that, sorry. But it means unconditional love. Why is the wife then not commanded to love her husband? In short, perhaps it's because he created woman to love. Her sensitivity, compassion, love, and nurturing are part of her nature. God doesn't need to tell her to love him. He created her to do just that. And God is not one to get into redundancy. He already created her to love. But the correlation here, or the connection I want to make, is that it should be unconditional love and unconditional respect. Not that you should love your wife or that you should respect their husband only if they earn it and deserve it. It's not the point. I believe, as a whole, we understand unconditional love. I also believe that unconditional respect is certainly a different concept, if not a relatively new one in my life. A passage that we need to consider is 1 Peter 3:1-2. And once again, I know I'm kind of visiting a lot of the same things that were visited with Mark's sermon, and I was sick that day, and I'm so glad that I took the time to listen. Thank you. But 1 Peter 3:1-2 says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." He may deserve contempt, but that won't win him over any more than anger and harshness will win over the heart of the woman. Your respectful conduct may be exactly what your unloving husband needs to win him over to loving you the way that you want to be loved. But he doesn't have to earn it. He's to receive it unconditionally. The lack of love, let's back up here for just 1 second. You got some handouts? Rodney does have some handouts here. You don't need them to follow along with what I'm saying. However, what I tried to do was make some important key points from this book. It's not just to follow along with me. It would probably be worth it for you to take it and use it. I have some verses in there that will verify what I'm speaking on this morning. I have some descriptions of the cycles that are gone over in this book, and then some suggestions for thoughts that you can have on your communication and thoughts that you can have to make things better spoken, which is, oddly enough, not what I'm doing right now. I wish I had it in front of me. You can follow along with that as you wish, but the first thing that you're going to see on there is the description of the cycles. This lack in love, lack of love and respect, is what Dr. Eggerichs calls the crazy cycle. And I'm going to use my hands here for a great illustrative tool, because it's like this. Without love and without respect, and over here we have he reacts, and without she reacts over here. So without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Are you getting it here? Of course you're getting it. It's going in a crazy circle. I was going to draw it on the board, but you can't read my writing anyway. The problem is sometimes we communicate in code. Here's an example that the doctor gave out of his own life. He was trying to work on his computer, and the radio was on in the other room, and it was distracting him. And he yells, "Are you listening to that?" No reply. So again, a little louder. "Are you listening to that?" Still, there's no reply. He's getting a little frustrated. He finally shouts, "Are you listening to the radio?" She yells back, "I've been trying to listen, but you keep interrupting." See, they didn't understand what the other one was saying. She was irritated because she hadn't even noticed that the radio was on and thought that he wanted her to hear something. He was angry because he just wanted her to turn the radio off, and she misunderstood him. These small disagreements can escalate. She's angry because he was being insensitive when he was yelling at her. So she feels unloved, and he feels lack of disrespect when she talks to him as if he was being insensitive. Men, when your wife is complaining, criticizing, or crying, this is her coded message. I want your love. Likewise, ladies, when your husband is speaking harshly or not even speaking at all, he is sending his coded message. I want your respect. When we see these things through our own pink or blue glasses, so we end up miserable, wondering how this whole stupid argument started in the first place. And the reason we rarely figure it out is because we blame each other. Further proof that women are about love. How about greeting cards? They're almost all about love, right? Studies show that most cards are purchased by and given to women. Well, why wouldn't they be about love? The people in the cards want to make business too. They want to make money. I challenge you to find a card that a man can give to his wife that says, baby, I really respect you. It's not there. Because it's not what a woman wants to hear. Women are locked into love. This is not a bad thing. Again, God created them that way. Think how horrible the world would be without this value. Women are this way, and we men, we rejoice in it. Additionally, you won't find cards given from the wives to the husbands that say, baby, I really respect you. That doesn't sell either. Again, that woman wants to express her love. But sadly, that yearning of the husband, again, goes unmet. Another example for the men. You can live longer without food than water. For men, love equals food. Respect equals water. It's not that love isn't important. It's that respect is more important. Respect is a man's deepest value. Take the military, for example. Great leaders motivate their troops through honor. When the leader respects them and believes in them more than they even believe in themselves, they want to improve to fulfill the potential that the general sees in them. They want to serve. Men are willing to fight and die for the honor of women, children, and their friends. This is not to discount the honor that the women have in the military and service. It's just that this is a deep-seated truth in men. The voices in our culture say, don't respect your man. He doesn't deserve it. He will treat you in a subservient way. This may be true for most. I'm sorry, it may be true for some, but for most, a man will serve his wife and even die for her. Some women may push that point. You say you will die for me, but you never do. It's a quote from here. I would never say that kind of thing from up here. However, after telling wives to live respectfully before their husbands, 1 Peter 3 and 7 says this, in the same way your husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Okay, so in the biblical order of things, he is the first among equals, the one to provide and to protect. It isn't an accident that in most cultures, the men are usually larger than the women. If you recall in Nehemiah, the men are urged to fight for your brothers, sons and daughters and wives. It isn't a man's right, it's his responsibility. But Jason, are love and respect the same thing? Well, look at it this way. Do you respect your boss? Well, hopefully, but yes. But you don't love your boss. If a woman hears from her husband, I respect you, but I don't love you, how long will that hurt? It's going to hurt forever. It's going to hurt for a long time anyway, right? Well, then if a man hears from his wife, I love you, but I don't respect you, how long is it going to take him to get over that? We can easily see, again, what is done to us before we see what we are doing to our mate. I'm not trying to hammer wives here. I'm trying to help them because a woman's respect can slow down that crazy cycle. And ladies, men can change. Many of them even want to. So who goes first? Well, first it's probably time for a little water anyway. 1 Peter 3:11 tells us to seek peace and pursue it. The doctor suggested that you both go first. It's really not possible. So what I'm suggesting is that, man, you're supposed to be tough. Don't pull that Rodney Dangerfield, I get no respect thing. Take the hit. Take it with the same sense of honor that you would take a bullet for your buddies. You're not going to die. It'll be hard, maybe even humiliating, but you'll win the heart of your wife. So this is going to take us to the next phase. This is called the energizing cycle. And here we have his love motivates her respect. Motivates his love, etc. This love and respect for one another motivates each other. I'm not going to go very deeply into these cycles for time. I'm going to cover as much as I can. It won't be completely thorough, but you should get the idea. Again, I listed many scriptures there that you can look at your own time, that you can see some of these points are made. So how does a man, and this is also in there, how does a man spell love? Couple is how a man spells love. And what does that acronym stand for? I'll tell you. C is for closeness. I'm going to give you examples, gentlemen, of what you can do to accomplish all of these things. She feels close to you when you hold her hand, when you hug her, when you're affectionate without intentions. You're aware of her mind and opinions, letting her know that you value her insights. You go out of her way to do something for her, like run an errand. You know, this is crazy. I even saw this yesterday. My wife was building something, and I cut down a little 2-inch piece of PVC. It took all of about 30 seconds, and she ran skipping like I was the greatest guy in the world. I just went out of my way to do something for her on a day where I was kind of busy, and she appreciated it. The O stands for openness. Your wife feels that you're open to her when you share your feelings. You tell her about the day. You say, let's talk, and ask her what she's feeling. Ask her for her opinions. You show you want to talk. You have relaxed body language. You have good eye contact. You walk and talk and reminisce with her. You pray with her. You give her your full attention, not just grunting when you're watching TV or reading the newspaper. Sports Center for me, sorry. You discuss your financial concerns or your plans for the future. I have gotten into trouble in my marriage because of that last one, because I try to protect my wife constantly of any financial troubles that we may have. She doesn't want protection. She wants to share. It's taken me over 20 years to figure that out. The U stands for understanding. She'll feel you try to understand her when you listen and repeat back what she has said, when you don't try to fix her problems, guys, unless she specifically asks you to. You never dismiss her feelings, no matter how illogical they may seem to you. You don't interrupt when she is trying to tell you how she feels. You apologize when you're wrong. You appreciate all she does. You pray with her and for her. Peacemaking is P. She'll feel at peace with you when you let her vent her frustrations and hurts without getting angry and closing her off. You admit when you're wrong and you say, I am sorry. Will you forgive me? You forgive her any wrongs she confesses. You pray with her after a hurtful time. You try to keep your relationship up to date by resolving the unresolved and never saying, let's just forget about it. Again, this is something that was covered recently to some extent before, but women sometimes, guys, become historical. Not hysterical, historical. You know what I mean? Man, you can't make peace with your wife by saying, let's drop it. She may let it go eventually, though. She's going to come back and rehearse history for you. But when she does that, she's trying to make peace and understanding between the two of you. Not provoke you, Men typically resolve conflict without much discussion, sharing of feelings, or apologies. This won't work for your wife. Don't treat your wife as you do your friends. Men, you'll be better served by saying, "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I didn't mean to do that." It doesn't matter who's to blame. The percentage of guilt is not the issue. The real issue is love and respect. L is for loyalty. She is assured of your loyalty when you speak highly of her in front of others, when you're involved in things that are important to her, when you don't correct her in front of the children, when you don't look lustfully at another woman, when you tell your kids, "Don't speak to your mother that way." And E is for esteem. Your wife will feel esteemed when you speak highly in front of her in front of others, when you open the door for her, when you try something new that you really don't want to do for her, when you notice something different about her hair or her clothes. I've actually done that twice, I think, in our marriage. You teach the children to show her and others respect. And when you get into those gray area opinions, when she has her opinion, he has his opinion, it's not wrong, it's just different. And you make her feel important. She'll feel esteemed. I'm watching the clock, guys. And if you'll take, I promise you, I'll make a really short sermon the next time I stand in front of you. I can't quit. It's too important. But we're almost there. I'm going to go a little more in depth in this part to everyone, because honestly, as infrequently as I've ever heard of this, I think it's kind of new. At least it was for me. So, how do women spell respect? Chairs. C is for conquest. By this, I mean a man's natural desire to go out and conquer the challenges of the world, to work and achieve. Adam didn't receive all the things that he got in the Garden of Eden for free. He had to cultivate the garden, didn't he? Men have been working since the beginning of time. Right or wrong, a man's, one of his first questions when he meets another a man is what? What do you do? What do you do for a living? Men identify themselves by their work. It's important to him. Some proof of this, and I know particularly recently women can relate to this also, is the feeling you have in your gut when you're laid off or fired from your job. It's important to you. For me, it was the recent change in my career. As an air traffic controller, I felt like I was on top of the world, like I was respected. I knew what I was doing. It was unique. I was good at it. I've been doing my other job for 5 years. I still have no clue what I'm doing there. And what's sad about it is that it continues on and affects other parts of my life. You start having self-doubt. Your husband will feel you appreciate his desire to work and achieve when you tell him that you value his work efforts. You express your faith in him related to his chosen field. You listen to his work stories closely. H is for hierarchy. I'll tell you what, this is not where I'm going with hierarchy. The male dominates the female. It's a man's world. Men are superior to women. I can't blame you if you ever had that thought when I mentioned hierarchy. Because for years, men have used the scriptures in ignorant, abusive, even evil ways in the name of, well, the Bible says so. The Bible doesn't say so. See, another desire of a man is to provide and protect for his family, even die for them if necessary. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone doesn't provide for their own, they are worse than an unbeliever. Men need to provide for the family, or they're worse than an unbeliever. They need to protect their family. So what is the hierarchy? Ephesians 5:22 through 24 says, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Probably a bad place to stop. This is not a label of superiority for the males. It's actually a tremendous responsibility And it's pointed out and continued on in the next few verses. For husband, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. The good-willed husband understands this is commanding that he protects his wife. This isn't male superiority, it's his job. With today's dual-income families, it's easy for the concept of headship and wifely submission to feel kind of old-fashioned and out of date. But ladies, your husband will feel you appreciate his desire to protect and provide when you verbalize admiration of him protecting you and being willing to even die for you. When you praise his commitment to provide and protect, and you never, in word or body language, put down his job or his income. A, for authority, because of the time, I'm going to go over this quickly with just some examples. He'll feel that you appreciate his authority and leadership when you tell him you're thankful for his strength and enjoy being able to lean on him at times. When you praise his good decisions. When you're gracious when he makes bad decisions. When you disagree with him in private and honor his authority in front of your kids. I is for insight. Remember earlier when we covered that don't try to fix your thing for the guys? Ladies, your husband will appreciate, know that you, I'm sorry, your husband will feel you appreciate his insight and counsel when you tell him up front that you just need his ear. Make it easy on him. And then don't complain to him later that he always tries to fix you if what he's trying to do is fix your problem. That's what guys do. You recognize his problem solving is an approach that's his male brand of empathy. Relationship. Ladies, sometimes if your husband just asks you to sit with him without talking, he's communicating by sharing the experience. It's just what we do. How else would men enjoy going out and going fishing or hunting when there's a possibility that maybe nothing will even happen? It's the experience. It's that shoulder-to-shoulder time where you're just being there as a friend. These particular times are your husband's way of letting you know he wants to be your friend. And remember in Song of Solomon chapter 5, the verse 16, the young woman completes her vivid description of her lover as her friend. It's important to be friends when you're married. Dare I say, best friends? Your husband will feel that you value this shoulder-to-shoulder friendship when you tell him you like it and you show it. You respond to his invitation to engage in recreational activities together or just watch him do it. Not every time, but just every once in a while. This will really energize him. S is for sexuality. Again, this is a subject that I'm going to cover, but I'm going to cover carefully. This is part of the sermon. I want to stress that I am paraphrasing a lot of what the doctor said in his book, because the psychology of sex is something I'll never profess to be an expert on. But I'm trying to help women understand their husbands. And the first point of this is that his sexuality is different than yours. Proverbs 5:19 says, "She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love." It's not a coincidence that it doesn't say, "Let his breasts satisfy her." See, men are visually oriented when it comes to sex. Women are less so, which for men is just as hard to believe that they're not. The second thing that women can understand about their husband is that he needs release sexually just as much as you need emotional release, that intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Do not deprive one another of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterwards, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Husbands particularly can come under satanic attack when deprived of sexual release. Wives may better understand this if they consider what they would feel like if their husband didn't want to talk or listen to them, depriving them of their emotional release. It would make them miserable. This all falls under the energizing cycle. You can't get what you want by depriving your partner of what your partner needs any more than your partner can deprive you of the things that you need to get the things that he or she wants. There's so much more on this subject, but I'm going to skip it. He will feel your appreciated desire for sexual intimacy when you respond to him. You understand his need for release is just as much as your own emotional release. And you don't try to make him open up verbally to you just by depriving him of sex. That might be the hardest thing I've ever said from the pulpit. This leads to the last cycle. This is the rewarded cycle. I'm sorry. I've had a really tough time this week, guys. I'm surprised this is the first coughing fit I've had. See, the problem is, what if it doesn't work? What if your spouse is still unloving or disrespectful? This last cycle, his love blesses regardless of her respect. Her respect blesses regardless of her love, of his love. Unconditional love and respect will be rewarded. Matthew 5:46 says, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? I believe this was covered again recently, but Matthew 25, Jesus says that all the good things that we do to our brethren, which I believe would include our spouses, we do unto him. And husband's unconditional love reveals his love for Christ. If you don't love your wife, ask yourself, am I really loving Jesus then? And a wife's unconditional respect reveals her reverence for the Lord. If you don't respect your husband, ask yourself, am I really loving Jesus? In a sense, your marriage has nothing to do with your spouse and everything to do with your relationship with Jesus. No matter how depressing or irritating your spouse may be, your own response is your responsibility. Every time you reach out with love or respect, heaven's watching. This book is so much more in depth than what I covered. I hope that you take the time to read it, because the way that I brought it out, it just doesn't give it justice. It really was a really eye-opening, touching, fantastic book for me. I want to implement it in my life right now. It's that important. I hope that you can see the benefit of applying it to yourselves and your lives. We'll offer the gospel invitation this morning. If you're outside of the body of Christ and would like to take this opportunity to be baptized into his name and join the church, if you're one of our members who has fallen away or needs help in any other way, you can come forward as we stand and sing.